I would appreciate your prayers this morning. The Lord would bless and be merciful to us. Visit us with His Spirit. Speak to our hearts. I have a little message. It's kind of different than what I would normally preach here, but it is a responsibility, I would say, as a pastor. It's a responsibility to try to have a complete menu. And I want to endeavor to be faithful to what the Lord is dealing with me. I want to turn and read first in the 19th Psalm. I don't know what you will think of this, but it's very of utmost importance to every one of us. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." I know I'm preaching, talking to the saved this morning, talking to the church, but I think there's something here that the Lord would like to impress upon our minds. Something that we need to kind of, you ever heard the phrase, keep it in the back of your mind? Well, I don't know how far back you want to keep it, but I think you ought to keep it in your minds. The scripture says, "The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." I want us to talk about, for a little bit, the final judgment. The word "final" has a connotation to us. Means that's it. It's all over. For instance, when you go to some place that's selling something and they say all sales are final, it means that once you bought it, you bought it. It's yours. And you're going to either keep it or throw it away, give it away. But it's yours. It's final. You can't bring it back. We're not going to sell it again. We're not going to take it back, so it's final. This world that you and I live in is a temporary world. And we need to realize that. Need to understand it. One day there will come a final time when we're going to leave this world. The question that I have for you and I is, where are we going? You're going to take your last breath. You're going to take your final breath. And you're never going to breathe again. And you're going to be in God's hands. Where are we going? It is important that we keep in mind that we should not be living just for today. Because the things of today are not final. The things of today are temporary. What we are doing with life, we start out on Monday and work our way through the week. We do the mundane things and we do the things that we have to do. But nevertheless, they're all temporary. And I want us to consider a little bit the word final, the final judgment. You and I are traveling through this world and we're going the same direction, though we don't know where we will, when we will reach the goal. We're all going to eternity, aren't we? I don't care who you are this morning, you're not going to escape it. Eternity is going to come and we don't know when, but it is going to come. The Lord told us it was going to come. The Bible tells us that it's going to come. And we're warned to pay attention to the things that are happening, to realize that one day death is going to take every one of us out of here. And we're all going to dwell in eternity. Over in Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, 30th chapter, I'm sorry, is where I want to begin. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. But you and I do not know how long the journey is. We don't know when it will come. We just know that we live in a temporary world. It isn't just us that's going to leave here, but this world is temporary. This world is going to face a final judgment. The judgments of God, of Almighty God. We don't know how long that we're going to be on this journey, but every path that we take, your path, my path, well, whoever you are this morning, it's going to lead to the final judgment. The final time that you might say something that you would normally say, the final time when you might do something that you normally do, there's going to come a final. Final means that that's it. It's all over. Final. All sales are final. Over in the 29th chapter in the last verse, just want to read this first. It says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those which are revealed belong unto us, to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. God has ordained and he has designed that you and I would, because of sin, be temporary here in this world. And all secrets belong unto God, but there are some things that he has revealed to you and I. There are some things that he speaks to you and I about in preparation for that final judgment. And that's what he's telling Moses over here in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. I want us to understand that God knows all things. He knows our end from the beginning. He knows all about you. You have nothing hid between you and God because he knows all about you. But it says here in the 15th verse, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. Thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. There's one thing I understand for sure, is the Lord wants to bless you and I. This isn't a dreary walk, but the Lord wants us to be blessed. In order for you and I to be blessed, we must keep the commandments of the Lord. They're his commandments. And we, you and I, must keep the commandments of the Lord. And there's consequences if we don't keep His commandments. But it says, if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but thou shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the earth, land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Now listen to this. I call heaven and earth. This is God. It's talking to Moses. Moses is telling you and I here. God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Heaven and earth. All the things that He has created, the things that you and I have become accustomed to and realize there is a heaven and there is an earth, and we're here on earth and God is in heaven, and God is dwelling in heaven with all of His power and with all of His glory, and He's looking down on each and every one of us. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and the 10th verse says something like this. We must all appear. We must all appear before Christ to give an account of the deeds that we have done in this body, whether they be good or evil. Now God knows what is good and He knows what is evil. He knows what you're doing and what you're not doing. He knows what I'm doing and what I'm not doing. He knows what requires of me, and if I'm not doing it, I'm going to be held accountable for that. Every one of us has something that is required of thee. And Paul went on to say, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's what it says in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Now I think about, let me finish reading this verse here. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Now this message was given a long time ago, and yet mankind has not taken heed. In general, mankind does not take heed of what God has said. There have been judgments that have come forth from time to time, even until this was written. When I think about the judgments of God upon the children of Israel, upon Pharaoh, let's start with Pharaoh, over there in Egypt, and the judgments that God brought there to show His power, to show His might, and to bring His children out of bondage. And God told them what they must do, and He brought them into another land, and He fed them with milk and honey. He brought water out of the rock. He divided the sea for them to pass over. All those things that God did, and they still, from time to time, begin to murmur and complain. They begin to doubt God, and they got in trouble with God, and God sent judgment upon them. If you read through the Old Testament writings there in Exodus and Leviticus and so forth, you'll find that God sent judgment upon His people when they got out of control, when they got out of the will of God. I don't want to get out of the will of God. God said, I call heaven and earth to record this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I kind of started getting some thoughts along these lines when I heard the young children in Sunday school a couple, 3 weeks ago. They said, teach us. Teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Many times I have used that over there in the 90th chapter of Psalms. Many times I've used that in funerals. But I think it would be good for you and I to number our days, meaning to pay attention to our days, how we spend our days, how we appear before God in everything that we do. I think it would be very important, and you and I should take heed to that, to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Over there in Proverbs in the first chapter, it talks about wisdom crieth in the streets. It is wisdom for you and I to hear what God has to say. And I'm going to get down before we finish, Lord willing, to the final judgment. But in the meantime, as we live and as we work and as we live life and do our things, there are times when God has to make adjustments. God makes adjustments in you and I's life and brings us back around to where we belong. Because sometimes we just get out of kelter with God. And God is merciful. And I want to point something out. His judgments are merciful. His judgments are righteousness. And His judgments are true. That you and I may apply our hearts unto wisdom in order that we do the right things to please God and to serve Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and spirit. That's how we need to stand before the Lord, is love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and spirit. So, over there in the children of Israel, God was merciful to them many, many times. He sent the judgments. He made correction. He made amendments in their lives, and He brought them back around track. And those that had an honest heart, those that followed the Lord, He accepted their sacrifices. And He will accept our sacrifice today if we have a heart towards God. May we have a heart towards God. It is important that we have that. But over there in Proverbs, the first chapter, what I was talking about, it says, wisdom cries in the streets. And then it says something about, because I have called and you refused, I will not answer. See, we have a part to play on this, don't we? Because I called and you refused, I'm not going to answer you in the day of your calamity. I'm not going to turn over there and read that. You all know what the first chapter of Proverbs says. But the onus or the responsibility is put on you and I. That when God calls us, and maybe He calls us that He wants us to be saved. Maybe He calls us that He wants us to change our direction in life. Maybe He calls us because He wants to make an amendment in one way or another in our life. And you and I need to take heed to the warnings that God calls us. We need to take heed to those things. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. I'm thankful that I'm talking to those that have chosen life. It's a choice. We don't have to choose life, but you're a fool if you don't choose life. The young man said, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build greater barns. And the Lord said, thou fool, tonight thy soul will be required of thee. It's temporary, isn't it? All the barns, all the things that we can accumulate here in life, the homes, the cars, all these things that we can accumulate or set our affections upon, it's temporary because there's going to come a final judgment to each and every one of us and to this old world that we live in. I'm going to move along real quickly. I want to turn over to Peter, 2 Peter. You all know it's in there. We just don't read it very much, maybe. In the third chapter of 2 Peter, he starts it out this way. He said, this second epistle, beloved, see, he's talking to you and I. I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Folks, I believe we need to be practical about some things. And we need to understand, and we need to have our heads up. We need to have a heads up and an understanding and knowing that as we live today, it's not always going to be this way. There's going to come a final time, a final judgment. And the Lord's going to bring every one of these, us to that. And it talks about, I wanted to look at something here. Beloved, verse 8. Be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years in one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Now his promise is, if you'll be with me, I'll be with you. If you'll follow my precepts and my commandments, and you'll walk in my ways, I'll be with you. I will help you in your times of need and of your times of trouble. And I don't care who you are this morning. I don't care where you are this morning. You're going to need his help because you're going to find yourself in trouble. And you're going to find yourself in need. And God said he would be with us at that time. 1,000 years is one day. Time means nothing. It means nothing to the Lord. The Bible tells us also, Peter tells us also, he said, verse 3, I'm gonna move around here. In verse 3, he says, knowing this, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they were willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. You're talking about the flood over there back in Noah's day. When God tells us, he reveals things to us. There's much that he's revealed to us throughout the scriptures, throughout the word of God. And when he reveals that to us, we are to learn that and be responsible in how we handle that. We are responsible for how we handle what God has revealed to us. Now he says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God in his mercy, and I talk about the temporary or the temporary judgments, the beginning of the judgments that God brings upon mankind. It's not his will. He doesn't bring the judgments upon man because it's his will for them to perish. But he wants them to come to repentance. I think about even in the New Testament, I want to bring this in. Over there in the book of Acts, when the people had sold their land and they were bringing their what they got for it to the apostles, Ananias and Sapphira, they brought their money to the apostles and they laid it at their feet. But they reasoned among themselves and they determined that they would just give so much. They wouldn't give it all, but they led them to believe that they was giving all that they had. That was the time of the early church. And that was a time when hypocrisy was trying to creep into the church. And God dealt with Ananias and Sapphira in a very severe way. There was very little mercy shown that day to those two because both of them died. They had agreed for the same price. And both of them lost their lives and laid down at the apostles' feet. But the purpose of it was, is that when the people looked on it and they saw what had happened, and it says the people were stirred in their hearts and they were stirred in their minds, and many people turned to the Lord and realized he is an almighty God and he's not to be trifled with, folks. He's not to be trifled with. You're no match for God. And you're not to trifle with God. God says what He means and He means what He says. But He's not slack concerning His promise. He even told Pharaoh. He said, I will harden whom I will harden. And I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That's the kind of God that He is. It's up to you and I and how that we entreat Christ, entreat God in our hearts. How we react to Him, how we respect Him. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's up to you and I how we turn to the Lord in those times. Pharaoh refused to do it. Pharaoh's heart got harder every time the Lord sent something his way. But I want to tell you, you don't trifle with God. Now it says the day of the Lord. Now we're coming down in some final times here. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord. Jesus said, the angel told the disciples when Jesus was going up to heaven, he said, why stand ye gazing up? For in like manner, he's going to return just like he came, just like he went away. He's going to return someday, and he's going to come back. And it's going to be the day of the Lord, and he will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You believe that's going to happen? Would you say that's pretty final? Would you say when that happens, when you say that it would be pretty final? It doesn't matter what you intended to do tomorrow. It doesn't matter what you intended to do next week. Because when that happens, folks, it's all over. All sales are final, see. All that we've done in life, it's all over because it's final. It's complete. And it said it's going to come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And he said, seeing that you know these things, all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Lord, help us to be holy people. Help us to be right before God. I set heaven and earth to record before you this day. Folks, we are charged with God's judgments. We are charged with God's word. He has set these things before you and I. And how we react to them, the choices that we make, the opportunities that we have. Don't pass opportunities when the Lord gives you one. Take that opportunity and let Him make the adjustments in your life. Looking for and hasting into the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Several years ago, I was in California and I used this same scripture one night. And I had a man come to me and said, the heavens shall pass away, being on fire shall be dissolved. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. He says, I don't believe that. I said, why don't you believe it? He said, well, there's nothing that is something. And even if you burn it up, it dissolves into ashes of some kind. And I said, you don't seem to understand the power of God. I said, do you believe in the Virgin Mary? He said, I do. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Lord? He said, I do. I believe all of that, but I don't believe this. I said, how can you pick and choose? And choose what you want to believe and you don't want to believe. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's going to be final. It's going to be the end. It is coming. I don't know when. Don't pretend to know when. I ain't going to tell you when because I don't know. But it's coming because the Bible says it is. The next morning he came to service. It was in the camp meeting. He came to service and he brought me a cup, a styrofoam cup with some ice in it. He said, just set this down here beside you. And I'll come and talk to you after service. So I set it down on the floor, and by the end of the service, the ice had all melted and there was water. He said, he come up, he says, what do you see in the cup? Well, I said, well, it's pretty obvious there's water in the cup. Because the ice is all melted. He said, that's what I said. There's always a residue whenever you have something that is solid and you burn it or you melt it, there's a residue that is left over. I just looked at him and I said, brother, he was a brother. You would be surprised if I told you who it was, but he was a brother. I said, brother, you do not understand the power of God. This God, this holy God that has all power in heaven and earth, power over the elements, power over the earth. I said, when he burns this thing up, it's going to be burnt up. Just like he said it was going to be. And it behoove you and it behooves me that I be ready for that time when it comes. Because it is surely coming. It is a final judgment. The reality, see. Facing the reality of life. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. I'm glad he's given us something to look forward to, aren't you? I want to turn over, before I run out of strength here, to the 20th chapter of Revelation. We have a picture here. Peter gave us a picture of what it's going to be like in that day of the Lord. And we have a picture here of what it's going to be like that God revealed unto John. It says in verse 11 of the 20th chapter, maybe I'll start up in the 7th verse. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. I want to say, let's don't get locked up on what 1,000 years is. It's a period of time. You and I have time and we have opportunity today to do what we should, what we know we ought to do. But he says, when that time is expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and here's where we're living today, and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, together in battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. You and I, regardless of what the naysayer says, regardless of what the man says that don't understand the scriptures, we're fighting the battle of Armageddon right now. The battle of Armageddon is right and wrong. Right against wrong. And that's what you and I right now today in this temporary time of life in 2018, we are fighting against the enemy of our souls. They went up on the breadth of the earth, compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That sounds pretty final, doesn't it? Forever and ever. I'm thinking about too, and I want to bring this in, when the rich man died. This is something that Jesus left us. He revealed some things to us when the rich man died. And when he died, it says being in hell or being in death, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. And he got some understanding after he died. He refused the dealings of the Lord. Obviously, he refused the dealings of the Lord when he was living. He didn't pay attention to what the Lord was doing for him when he was living. He was a rich man, had everything that he needed. Saints, don't set your affections on things of this world. The richness comes from your relationship in God. That's where the richness comes, in your relationship with God. And Lazarus is portrayed in this story, but the rich man looked up and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, which is a type of faith. And he looked up there and he said, send Lazarus down here to dip his finger in the water to cool my tongue, didn't he? You all know this story. He said, there's a great gulf fixed. Saints, people today, our families, our loved ones, they're building that gulf. They're separating themselves from God. Separating themselves from His mercy. Separating themselves from His love. They are so caught up with the things of the world, they don't have time to look up to see where the blessings are coming from. And that great gulf is being fixed. When that final time comes, Jesus shows us a picture of a man that was in torment. Folks, it was final. He will never get out. He's there today. He's there crying for a drop of water today to cool his tongue. That's how serious this thing really is. And then when Abraham told him that he couldn't come and do that, he said, then send me back and tell my brothers. I don't want him to come to this awful place. Folks, it's reality check. I know we're saved. I know we're endeavoring to live for the Lord. But remember something. This is coming. This is coming to those that you love, those that you care for, those that reject God, those that refuse His mercy, refuse His judgments while they're here on this earth. It's truly coming someday, and it's final. We're not going to change it. God's not going to change it. As my brother says, it is what it is. And that's what it is. God's not going to change it. And Abraham said, though one rise from the dead and go back, he said, they wouldn't believe him. Folks, today people are so hardened. They're scoffers, Peter said. In the last days, scoffers shall go about. They're making jokes about it and laughing in the face of God. I'm going to tell you, someday it's going to be final. God's not going to be laughing, but He'll have the last word. He'll have the last word for all of mankind. So I want to read this here. I want us to consider the final judgment, the final works that God is doing, is going to do. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it from heaven, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That's what we're all going to do someday, is stand before God. You're going to give account of your life. You're not going to give account of mine. Don't worry about your brother. Don't worry about straightening your sister or brother out. Straighten yourself out. Be ready for that time, because you're going to give an account of the life that you've lived here in this world. I'm going to give an account. I'm going to see that blood-soaked Savior. He's not coming back as a Savior. He's coming back as a judge. But I'm going to see His face someday. And you are too. The Bible even talks about Jesus speaking about separating the goats and the shepherds, separating the sheep. He's going to do that someday. So He said, I saw the dead, small and great. Doesn't matter what your status is in life. It doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've accumulated. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Folks, there's going to be two books that are going to be open in that day. He's going to open the New Testament book. God's Word is eternal. God's Word is our judgment. He's going to open those books, and the people that lived under the Old Testament dispensation of time are going to be judged of the things that they did. God's laws and God's purpose in their life. He's going to open up the New Testament book, and you and I and everyone else that's living in these days and time are going to be judged out of that book of what is required, what He teaches, all the judgments that He has given you and I. We're going to be judged out of this book, that book. And then the book of life will be open. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. I'd like to say something about that. From time to time, I've had people come up to me and say, what do you think about cremation? I personally don't care for the idea of cremation, but I don't see anything in the Word of God against it. But I will tell you this. If you're cremated, if you went down in the sea and a shark chewed you all up, it doesn't matter who you are or what happened. You're going to come back to your body at that day. We're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's final. This is the final word here. We're going to all stand. You're going to come back to that body. How can that be? You say, well, God can do anything. With God, all things are possible. With men it is impossible, but with God all things are... Jesus said that over in Matthew. You're going to come back to those times. And it's going to be final. And it says, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. The death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell... Listen to that. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't know. I would say that John had to be in the spirit to see something, to have a vision of that in this body. I couldn't do it. Couldn't handle it. Neither could you. You can only picture this in your mind, but it is a fact because the Word of God says so. And it's final. It's not temporary. There's not going to be another world. There's not going to be another life here, but the world's going to burn up and all the elements shall melt with fervent heat. All those things are going to happen. And we need to understand that. I want to read another scripture that's found in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, I think it is. Second Thessalonians. 1:7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Can you even imagine the sight that that is going to be? The people down in North Carolina and have been inundated with a flood that has taken lives and causing so much damage, so much trouble, problems, so much power that's been taken out, folks. I'm going to tell you there is no destruction that is comparable to what it's going to be like when the Lord comes in flaming fire. And how am I going to react when I look up and I see that day? Folks, when the five wise and the five foolish virgins, and may the Lord help us this morning to be wise virgins. They were all virgins. They were all living for God, but half of them that forgot to put the oil in their lamp. Keep the oil in your lamp. Keep it burning, folks. Keep your life on fire for God. Stay in the presence of God. Live in His presence in everything that you do. Because when the Lord came back, the five foolish ones, they went out to get oil. They tried to get oil from the wise, didn't they? The wise says, not so, lest there not be enough for us too. Folks, the grace that God gives us, listen to this. The grace that God gives you, the grace that God gives me, is only enough grace for me. It's not going to be grace for you. It's not going to be grace for my wife. It's not going to be grace for my children. But only the grace that I can get from God. And it's His grace. He can refuse it if He wants to. He cannot send that grace if He doesn't want to. If we don't react to Him in the proper way and live our lives according to His word, folks, He can withhold that grace. And when that grace run out, they went out to get some more, and when they were going, the door, the bridegroom came, didn't he? And the door was shut. And they came unto him and they said something about letting them in, letting them in. And I'm going to finish with this right here. Matthew, the 25th chapter, is where that little story originates from. Matthew, the 25th chapter, if I can find it here real quick. He says, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Do you have some kind of special privilege? I don't. I don't have anything special to me that God would accept me when I wasn't willing to do His will. I know you not. And then Jesus said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The question for us today is, where are we going? When are we going to get there? I can only tell you this because I know it I believe it for a fact. It will be final when you get there. When we all get to heaven, folks, it'll be final. So I want us to stand true and stand faithful. None of this other stuff means anything compared to the eternal weight of glory. Compared to the glory of God, and what He has prepared for you and I, folks, there's nothing in this world comparable to that. So keep your eyes looking up. Keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the Lord one day. You know, I know there's scoffers today. And it's 2018, soon to be 2019. But the Lord's coming back. Just as sure as I'm standing here, the Lord's coming back. He may come back for me tonight, today. He may come back for you tomorrow. But just as sure as He does it, all sales are final. How I've lived my life, what I've got behind me and what I've got before me, it's all in His hand. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The books were open, folks. That great and terrible day, may the Lord help us all, that we'll take this salvation seriously, that we'll work our salvation, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling before God. Because He's going to have the last say and it all will be in his hands. And pray for me. Thank you.